This is the Nursing Home Abuse Podcast. This show examines the latest legal topics and news facing families whose loved ones have been injured in a nursing home. It is hosted by lawyers Rob Schenck and Will Smith of Schenck Smith LLC, a personal injury law firm based in Atlanta, Georgia. Welcome to the show.
Hello there, and thanks for joining us. My name is Rob Schenck.
And I'm Will Smith.
And we are your hosts of the Nursing Home Abuse Podcast. We are also trial attorneys concentrating in the areas of nursing home and abuse in the state of Georgia. Thank you for joining us. Lots of interesting things on the table today. We've got our coffee from the local coffee shop, or iced coffee in Will's instance, because he's a huge sissy. But I come from a stock where no matter how hot it is outside, you man up.
Hot coffee.
You drink hot coffee.
Okay.
That's how I was raised. That's how you should have been raised.
Yeah.
So, but you didn't. So anyway, Will is used to drinking water straight out of a mountain stream. So that's where his taste for iced coffee comes from. But anyway.
Anyway,
an interesting topic today, because this is a topic that we're seeing more and more on the news, on the nightly news, and that is the considerations and legality surrounding the use of nanny cams or secret hidden cameras to capture potentially negligent or abusive behavior by nursing home staff, secretly placing a camera in the room of your loved one in a nursing home. What are the considerations involved in that? What are the legalities involved in that? We're going to kind of touch on this topic on today's episode.
And just to give a little caveat in the beginning here, we are not advising you in a legal manner about placing a nanny cam in your loved one's room in a nursing home. The best that I can tell you is that from our perspective, this is not something that is explicitly legal under Georgia law,
or explicitly illegal depending on what state you're in. This is
could be illegal under Georgia. It's not very clear, and you're taking that risk if you do it.
And we'll get into the in terms of nationwide, but the law is fluid from state to state on who can be recorded, how they're recorded, the circumstances behind it. So before you do it, first of all, as far as this nursing home podcast is concerned, we never give this disclaimer, which we should probably start doing that, but it is not going to constitute legal advice in any way. We are not your attorneys, and this is not an attorney-client conversation, and you should not consider it legal advice.
And I just wanted to point out that there are actually four states. I don't recall. I think one of them is Iowa. Anyway, there are four states that have specific statutes that say you must allow residents to place nanny cams in their nursing home rooms. Georgia is not one of them.
That's right. So
anyway, moving
on. With that caveat to out there, let's kind of talk about this. But before we get into that, another component is that I think, from my standpoint as a Georgia lawyer, that a consideration, a recommendation prior to placing a nanny cam or a hidden camera anywhere is to, if you seriously suspect abuse or neglect of your loved one in a nursing home, to go through the various channels that are available to you as a citizen of the state that you're in. So, for example, contact your local ombudsman. The ombudsman program is there exactly for that purpose, to investigate, to ask questions, to go on scene. They have carte blanche to go anywhere in that nursing home if they so choose in order to investigate and get to the bottom of any claims. You can call Adult Protective Services, the Department of Community Health, whatever the healthcare regulatory body or healthcare facility regulatory body that is in your state. Get in touch with them. And at the end of the day, the more individuals shedding light and investigating a case of potential neglect, the better. because you'll be able to sidestep a lot of these issues with regard to videotaping and nanny cams and things like that, and also seek out the advice of an attorney with any suspected neglect or abuse. With that being said, let's talk about this, because I feel like once a month there's a news article on the nightly news, in a local paper, whatever, of a family putting a nanny cam, like one of, what is it, like a little teddy bear? It's got a little camera.
Like a little
in it.
Teddy bear or something like that. A flower vase or something like that.
Yeah, and it captures blatant abuse or neglect.
And so you get to see, like, just, it's usually, you know, some CNA punching and slapping, you know, an elderly person sitting in a wheelchair, and it's awful. I think the most recent one was this, I think he was a World War II vet.
Yeah.
And he's lying in bed, and he's screaming, "Help me, help me, help me." And you just watch him, and nobody comes to do anything.
Right. So the use and the expense of nanny cams is dropped in recent years. Everybody has a camera attached to everything. Like, there's, it's amazing to me the level of technology in just our phones.
Yeah.
So the nanny cams are getting smaller. They're getting better. So they're becoming more and more used. So that presents
spy cams in general. You can just assume now that they're everywhere. I've got a friend in law enforcement that was showing me some of the surveillance cams they use. I mean, it's everything from like a can of shoe polish to a watch to a pen. Everything has a camera in it nowadays. Just assume that you're being recorded.
Yeah, seriously. So most nursing homes, or many nursing homes, already have video surveillance
in the public areas.
However, if you suspect neglect or abuse, if you were to say, "Hey, can I have copies of those videos?" they would say no. The only time that you'd be able to get those videos is if there was a lawsuit and they were subpoenaed. So that's not available to you. But placing a camera in the residence room is probably not going to be, more than likely, almost 99% sure, is not going to be allowed based on the contract that you sign or that your loved one has signed with that nursing home. Most nursing homes are not going to allow that unless you're in one of the states that we'll mention earlier, which actually are Oklahoma, Texas, New Mexico, and Washington, D.C. So one of them being a federal area. But
Washington State or Washington, D.C.?
Washington, D.C., a federal district. So those are going to be the only places where the nursing home has to, under the law, allow a video camera in. But one of the main reasons why that's an issue with the nursing homes, not just because they want to cover things up, which sometimes they do, but the main consideration of why this is not something that is allowed, and one of the reasons why a resident or a family of a resident could get in trouble for this, is because there are various privacy issues that could be ensnared if you attempt to secretly record your loved one.
Well, first and foremost, you may not just be recording your loved one.
That's the exact point. So everybody that's in a medical facility has a right to privacy. So for example, if you attempt to videotape your loved one, you may inadvertently tape the roommate of your loved one in that nursing home, in that room.
And I just want to say this. And this is just anecdotal, but I'm pretty sure that I'm not far off on this. I would say that 90% and maybe even a little higher, 95%, I'm going to go out on a limb, 95% of nursing home rooms are double occupancy.
Right. So any hidden camera, unless it's done in such a way that this is carefully monitored, is possibly going to pick up someone other than staff and someone other than your loved one. Mm-hmm. And that becomes a massive HIPAA violation, the federal regulation that provides privacy to your and mine and Will's medical records and treatment facts of our medical care. And there are violations of HIPAA can, you know, can result in fines. It can result in lawsuits. So a consideration prior to placing that camera in there is that, you know, you're not doing the roommate a favor if they get recorded. So that's an important thing to consider. The other component to this, not that a HIPAA violation isn't very important, then the privacy rights of people, other residents, not staff, but other residents is important, is that each state has in their statutes or common law certain restrictions on the ability to covertly, clandestinely record other people in their conversations or video-wise.
Yeah.
So, for example, go ahead, Will. I'm sorry.
No, I was just saying, the key word being...
Clandestine.
Clandestine. In public, all is fair.
Right. So, for example, no one is going to sue the paparazzi for taking video footage and camera footage of Robert Downey Jr. leaving a restaurant, mm-hmm. or Jennifer Aniston leaving the same restaurant.
Mm-hmm.
The issue comes when someone is in a place where there is an expectation of privacy, and they're being recorded without knowing it. So, generally, these are fall under wiretapping and eavesdropping statutes. So, for example, in Georgia, in order to clandestinely, meaning in a situation where somebody has an expectation of privacy, to record that conversation without them knowing it, one of the parties has to know that they're being recorded. That's codified in the statutes. That's the eavesdropping statute. So, in other words, if I want to record Will telling me that he's watched all the episodes of The Crown, and that's not something that he would freely admit in public, then as long as I know the conversation is being recorded, then I should be able to record it and not be in violation of that eavesdropping statute in the state of Georgia.
Yeah, and that's a really low standard. So in other words, you can record somebody's audio in Georgia as long as you are recording it and you know you're recording it. Really what it has to do with is situations in domestic cases where...
Divorce
cases where... You've hired an investigator. That investigator cannot then record two people talking because he's not one of the two people involved.
That's right.
So if somebody calls you on the phone in Georgia and you want to record them, you could do that.
And what about videotaping, the eavesdropping of videotaping in
Georgia?
Higher
threshold.
It's a higher threshold.
Much higher threshold.
Generally in Georgia, both individuals need to know they're being recorded where there is an expectation of privacy. And so in the statute here, and this is what makes these issues tricky. And again, this is not giving legal advice. But the reason why this is tricky is because nursing homes, that room is a residence. And the statute says that, you know, you're not allowed to clandestinely take videos unless it's what is it again? What am I trying to say? Nursing home room is a residence. What does the statute say? Wasn't there an exception that you can do it at your house?
Oh, no, hold on. Exceptions. First, may occur in jails. Second, property owners may record surveillance of their private property where people don't have a reason. Yeah. So I think it's this one.
Security purposes and crime prevention. Homeowners may set up camera to observe the immediate surroundings of the house. These recordings may be used in... Okay.
So I think it's these two. Yeah.
Okay. So the nursing home room is basically a residence, and there are certain exceptions under the law for videotaping your residence where there is a potential non-issue of expectation of privacy. Now, what that means is a gray area. Mm-hmm. So does that mean that, let's take the HIPAA violation off the table. Let's say for some reason that your loved one is in a room that has no other person in it, and you put that.
So they have a private room.
So they have a private room. So there's that secret nanny cam in there, because there are certain expectations, and we won't get into the nitty gritty of it for resident people that are property owners and people that have residences. Does that necessarily mean that you can videotape this in Georgia? Possibly, possibly not. But I think that. What do you think about the fact, Will, of a ramification of this? Of do you think who do you think that a nursing home would say, you know what, I'm going to enforce my civil rights to, you know, file suit against the family of the resident who has actually, in fact, captured abuse?
Yeah, and see, I think that's what it comes down to, is that you just because you have standing to bring a suit, you might have other issues going on that would necessitate you not being sued.
Yeah.
So if you're a nursing home where, you know, a World War II vet is seen on tape getting beaten by your staff, the last thing you want to do is then say, well, we're going to sue that individual.
And the last thing that the district attorney of that county is going to do is enforce the eavesdropping statute.
Yeah.
But an interesting case in this is that there's another state that's going to allow cameras in nursing homes, and we left this out of our list earlier, but Illinois. Illinois nursing homes are the latest locations where video and audio recordings will be allowed as the trend continues to create an indisputable record of what takes place in certain settings. A new bill that became law on January 1st of 2017 allows electronic monitoring devices in residents' rooms in the state's 860 nursing home facilities. This is from the pantograph.com, which is an Illinois news organization. So the Illinois Department of Health receives more than 21,000 calls annually in response to 5,000 complaints, most of them involving long-term care facilities. And the ability to record what goes on inside a nursing home may be beneficial. This is according to Attorney General Lisa Madigan, can be beneficial. And so that's the genesis behind it, is that, I mean, obviously, you know, a picture speaks 1,000 words. A video is 10,000 words.
Yeah. You know, something else that really needs to be discussed on this, too, and I would see this all too often, and this is another residents' right issues. We have to remember that the resident themselves should be consenting to this. And, you know, sometimes you have residents who have dementia. Sometimes you have residents who are simply non-cognizant. They're not conscious. They're not with it. You can't discuss things with them. They're in a coma. And the family, you know, does the family have the ultimate right to say to them, hey, we're going to record you?
That's right. So then that comes to the fact that, comes to where consent is an issue. And this comes to where does the power of attorney that a family member has confer the right to the other individual, the attorney, in fact, to make that decision? And that may or may not be the case depending on the wording of the power of attorney.
There's not a lot of litigation on this issue, and that's why it's hard to say. Unless there is a specific statute that says,
or case
that says that you can do this or that, or there's a case that says, you know, we have decided this is what this means or that, then it's really anybody's game. And that's why we say, it, you know, unless you're in one of those four states, Texas, Oklahoma, New Mexico, and the Washington, D.C. area.
Illinois.
Or Illinois. Unless you're in one of those five states, it is not clear.
Yeah. It's a moving area. And that's why, again, we are not legal advice, but our recommendation is to try something else.
Call an ombudsman.
Yeah. So moving on, going to talk about a case out of Syracuse, New York. A state health department inspection conducted last April found Iroquois Nursing Home did not properly manage two male residents with histories of being aggressive and sexually abusing other residents in the dementia unit of a 160-bed facility in Syracuse. The health department recently fined that nursing home, Iroquois Nursing Home, $16,000 as part of a settlement agreement based on the inspection report that showed that two men at that facility who suffer from dementia and other health problems sexually abused other residents. So this article is interesting because it provides some staggering stats. One is the study of 10 New York nursing homes with more than 2,000 residents, found 1 in 5 residents were involved in at least one negative or aggressive encounter with one or more fellow residents in the previous 4 weeks. So the issue here, Will, is when is a nursing home itself responsible for the sexual abuse or just the physical abuse of one resident to another resident, not the staff sexually abusing the resident, but the resident to resident?
Well, I mean, it's like it says in this statement, found the nursing home did not properly manage two male residents with histories of being aggressive and sexually abusing other residents. So that's what it comes down to. Did they have knowledge?
Right. So the question that's asked is, what did the nursing home have actual knowledge of the residents committing abuse or constructive knowledge? And constructive knowledge being, should they have known based on the evidence at hand? So a nursing home may be liable for the actions of the residents to other residents. Mm-hmm. Where there is a pattern, a history, or evidence showing that they have a propensity to do things, and the nursing home did not take appropriate steps to mitigate those actions.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And
so that's the important component, because no one's omnipotent. I mean, like, we you know, I feel like sometimes we beat on nursing homes all the time. They don't have to prevent every single tragedy or every single injury, every single abuse. They couldn't. I mean, they're not you know, a god.
But they not can, to mention, like, we've talked about before, residents have rights. So they have rights to, I mean, you could just lock them in a room and strap them to a bed that turns, you know, every 2 hours so they don't get bed sores, and they'll be perfectly safe. But what kind of life is that to live?
Like, right.
Liberty comes with risk, and nursing home residents have liberty.
That's right. So it comes down to the level of care in revealing the propensity of danger with the residents, and then the level of care it took in preventing those the potential risk in that. So that's really what it comes down to. Just because somebody, a resident, beat on another resident doesn't mean the nursing home is responsible necessarily. It has to do with the level of knowledge, either actual or constructive knowledge, that the resident would do that, held by the nursing home itself.
There's something else interesting about this article that I want to point out, because I know that not too long ago, a few weeks ago, we did a video podcast on the CMPs, civil monetary penalties, and how toothless they can really be. And I want you to consider in this case that the state health department in New York concluded that this nursing home failed to manage two men who had a history of sexually abusing other residents.
And did abuse other residents.
They fined them $16,000. That's it. Once. No more. And just based on what we know, I mean, I'd have to look more into this. There's a potential that this is even reduced more, the $16,000. That's nothing. It really is. And I think I remember the nursing home in question from the CMP podcast was an Illinois nursing home that they had made like $5.2 million that year. So you can imagine that this nursing home in New York is somewhat similar, $5 to $6, $7, $8, $9 million.
So, I mean, but also at the same time, remember that there are different components to seeking justice. So even though the CMP might not have much teeth, remember this family holds a civil right to sue this nursing home and be awarded compensatory damages, but also depending on the laws of the state of New York, punitive damages.
Yeah.
So all is not lost.
No. And it certainly, and this goes on their record. This goes on their permanent record that they have a fine that they had to reach a settlement with the Department of Community Health for New York or whatever it's called. And that's not good.
That's right. Something else that's not permanent would be the length of each and every episode of the Nursing Home Abuse Podcast. That is to say, we have reached the conclusion of this particular episode of the Nursing Home Abuse Podcast. You can check us out on Stitcher or iTunes, where you can download the audio via MP3, or you can watch us on our YouTube channel or at our website, which is nursinghomeabusepodcast.com. New episodes are available every Monday morning. We thank you for joining us, and we will see you next time.
See you next time.
Thanks for tuning in to the Nursing Home Abuse Podcast. Please be sure to subscribe to this podcast on iTunes or Stitcher, and feel free to leave us some feedback. And for more information about the topics discussed in this episode, check out the show website, nursinghomeabusepodcast.com. That's nursinghomeabusepodcast.com. See you next time.